Once again, thank you to Kevin McLeod from Incompetech.com for the use of our intro theme. This week, everybody, podcast 003, we're going to be talking all about Lightworkers. And as always, we are joined by the rest of the Paranormal Guide crew. We got Paul Tippich.
How you going?
I'm just punching microphones. Tash McDonald.
Hi.
And Debbie Williams.
How you going?
Now, this is a hard one. This is hard for me. I'm not sure about how hard it is for the other guys, but I know next to nothing about this topic, so hopefully the other guys can get through this without me, and I'll just ask some probing questions. So, guys, what do we know about Lightworkers? What do we know? So, let's start with the people that I'm pretty sure have no idea. I know Paul knows a little bit. So, Debbie, what's a Lightworker in your mind?
Oh, goodness. I don't pretend to know anything about this topic whatsoever. So, a Lightworker, something to do with protection, using positive energies in some way?
Yeah, Paul?
Yeah, pretty much the same as Deb. Lightworkers... Obviously, light, I would consider, would be another word for spirit energy or a positive spirit, and they must push that influence out into different situations. For example, protecting themselves in an investigation, which we covered in the last episode, or, you know, just maybe clearing out a spirit.
Tash.
Okay, a light worker is basically, well, my understanding of it is basically like a psychic. They generally have a higher frequency of vibrational waves than what most people do. So basically a light worker is it's basically like a medium or a Reiki master. A lot of Reiki masters are in tune and are known as light workers. Also, light workers are on a higher level of spiritual ascension. So they're just on a higher level than what the rest of, you know, like me, are. And it's also, it's all about belief as well, is another thing.
So really it's a wide umbrella of topics underneath the light worker, well, name or label. Guys, what do you think a light worker would be used for? Why would someone want the talents or the abilities of a light worker?
Well, like Tash was saying, they're basically psychics, just on a different level, you know. So that'd be used for protection, for healing as well,
yeah.
Tash?
Yeah, a lot of healing.
So they probably do that. Clearing or cleansing of areas, probably help spirits move on. Or do they do any mediumship?
Yes, well, generally a light worker, they, like me, they're different when they're younger. And they feel different, but so they can communicate with spirit, and they use the light, which is positive energy, positive reinforcement, and they use it in a way that, yeah, to be more positive.
Are we talking like indigo children grow up to be light
yes,
workers? So
pretty
there's
much,
a lot of
yeah,
light workers
yeah.
that were in these indigo
yeah,
children you hear
yeah.
about?
So the term light worker also means that they're more awakened, their spiritual awareness is more awakened than as opposed to Debbie or you or Paul. Am I not making sense? Like, maybe I'm not making sense, but generally they're more awakened than what the rest of the psychic world is or the general public. And they just work on a higher frequency because they're on a higher level of spiritual ascension.
Are you a light worker?
No.
Okay, so you're not one of these higher spiritual beings.
No. I'm not as... awaken is the correct term as I'd like to be.
There's light workers out there that can that believe they can heal the earth.
Yeah,
they yep. use their energy to heal the earth, change the outcome of significant events. For example, you know, that could help Australia get these gold medals they're missing out on at the Olympics.
Really?
Yeah. They believe they can do anything. Yeah.
It's basically like working. It's just basically like a closer connection to God in a way, but they don't like to use the term God. But yeah. it's basically being on a more spiritual, higher level.
Okay.
I'm only saying some. I'm not saying all yeah. of them, but yeah.
So basically, so Tash and Paul seem to have a better grasp now. So me and Debbie are just going to sit back and fire questions at you guys for the episode.
No,
unless
sure.
Debbie has something else to add.
I'm just winging this, Ash.
Are you just making up garbage?
No. I did look at it a bit, but yeah, no. There's some extremists, as there are extremists in every religion or every almost every topic there is to talk about. You know, so. The general light worker, I believe, is just, it's basically a psychic, maybe on a different plane, like Tash was saying. Yeah. But there are out there light workers who believe they're a form of God.
Debbie.
Someone, when Tash touched on people that, for instance, might work in Reiki, well, what about other spiritual healers that might use crystals, or they might use incense, or they might do some other practice to make just someone feel physically better, like we were saying before, if someone feels that they've been not so much possessed, but they've just got a negative energy around them for some reason, they might go to a light worker just to have some healing. I mean, there's lots of, you know, these organic-y food shops and naturopaths and things like that. It could be another branch of that kind of health, holistic health.
Tash, did you want to add anything?
No, it is basically that as well. Like Reiki masters and their attunements and their skills, that's what they believe that they are, solely believe that they are light workers and they're healing in a divine way. So there's nothing really more I can add to it. That's generally what it is.
So is there any like famous light workers out there you can share with us?
Dr. Doreen Virtue, she is. She also makes all the cards, oracle cards that I read and stuff. She believes in angels and working with the light.
So angels are part of this as well, are they?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I'm not an expert, but angels are meant to be light beings as well. So I guess you could say that they are. I personally know some light workers as well.
Okay. Knowing them on a personal basis, are they different from us?
No, their beliefs are different. I don't think they're different from anybody. I mean, what's normal, really? But their beliefs are different.
How are they different?
Different from me? Is that what you're asking?
Different from us.
Yeah.
Well, I just said they're not different from us. The only thing different is their beliefs are different. So, you know, they believe in working with the light and they believe in energy.
What about some great people in history too that could have been light workers? What about beautiful Gandhi or the Dalai Lama, someone like that? They've got to be gifted on a higher spiritual plane to have the worldwide respect and notoriety, infamy, or whatever you want to call it, you know, just beautiful human beings. So that they would be two very special people that would come to my mind.
So from the understanding in this room and Tasha's knowledge, is a light worker is someone that works with positive energy and pretty much solely that positive energy and their kind of intuition, their mediumistic abilities to, I guess, take any kind of situation that might be bothering someone and put a positive spin on it. So they are positive people. They make things better. Is that pretty much what it comes down to?
Yeah, they're healers.
Okay, then. Well, as always, Debbie went, hit the streets.
I did.
And asked the public. And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. And Debbie's going to tell us a little bit about what she did. And then we'll listen to what the general public like to think about, well, what they thought light workers are.
A paranormal investigation group? Want to find out more about any workshops, courses, and events in your area? Are you searching for a paranormal group to join? Or are you after the latest paranormal equipment being sold here in Australia? Then log on to Access Paranormal, where you can find a list of paranormal groups around the country, available jobs, where to buy paranormal equipment, and recommended reading. The website is accessparanormal.com, Australia's chosen paranormal networking website.
Introducing GoShack, Australia's first exclusive paranormal equipment web store, providing Aussies with many of the sought-after materials to delve into paranormal exploration. GoShack currently offers items such as IR lights and full-spectrum digital cameras, mel meters, pods, full-spectrum illuminators, and much more. If we don't have what you're looking for, we will endeavour to provide it for you. GoShack prides itself on providing Aussies with high-quality products at prices unmatched across the globe. Check us out at goshack.com.au or find us on Facebook.
Everybody, welcome back from the breaks. Once again, we love our sponsors. Go find them all on Facebook. Go find them on their web pages. Go give them a like. give them as much support as you can. They're all very relevant to your paranormal beliefs and interests, so go visit them all. And now that we're back, we're going to be talking, well, we're going to be listening to the Feet on the Street segment that Debbie went out. Well, you tell us, Debbie.
I did. I wandered down to a different part of town this time. I thought, oh, let's go down the beach, you know, let's go see what's happening down at Semaphore. There's a few holistic sort of spiritual shops down there, and I thought I'll wander around and see what the people down at the beach thought of. And as you'll hear, very interesting responses.
Okay, we'll get straight into that. Is everyone keen?
Yep.
Yep.
I love how keen everyone sounds when you ask that. Okay, guys.
Do you think positive thought or positive energy could be helpful for someone dealing with negative spirits or negative ghosts?
Yes, I do think positive thoughts or positive energy could be an aid for someone dealing with negative spirits or ghosts, because when you're positive, you do tend to counteract the negative in any form, whether it be spiritual, physical, whatever. If you're positive, you just tend to overcome negative every single time.
Yeah, yes, I do, because I think the more positive you are in life, the better off you are.
Yeah, look, I completely believe that positive thinking is the key to almost everything, and especially anything negative, because if you let that negativity take over, well, that speaks for itself, doesn't it? It's almost like saying you're doomed.
I think positive thought or positive energy could be an aid for someone dealing with negative spirits or ghosts. Always being positive when you're dealing with energy or supernatural is always good. But at the same time, it comes back to your belief. If you believe in negative spirits, negative entities, well, there again, your mind will create that area.
Oh, God, yes. Anything positive, positive, I mean, you know.
Not really. The answer to that question, not really. I think it does help the person to stay positive so they're not attracting that type of energy. But in dealing with negative spirits or ghosts, there's certain specific ways to deal with them, and positive energy won't do it.
I don't know if positive thought or positive energy could be an aid for someone dealing with negative spirits or ghosts, but it surely couldn't hurt. I mean, you know, there's people out there that, well, like myself, that when things go wrong or you think you're seeing things, you just drop a pill.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think positivity is always the key to achieving whatever you want to achieve. So I guess if you encounter something like that, positive thoughts and thinking would be really good, and you could be successful in whatever you're doing.
Well, actually, I think the question here is, well, in the first instance, why is there a negative force hanging around somebody in the first instance? I mean, of course, if you've got a negative spirit hanging around somebody, well, that is my question, why? Clearly, if you're a positive person, I don't see that you'd have a negative spirit.
So do you think positive thought or positive energy could be an aid for someone dealing with negative spirits or ghosts?
Yes, a definite yes.
No matter really what you say or think when you're dealing with ghosts or like paranormal stuff, because clearly, like all the movies I've seen and stuff, you need stuff like silver bullets and holy water and stuff. Otherwise, you're pretty much on no light of Shit Creek, eh?
My favourite comment is that last one. I love it. He thinks, nah, bugger the positive energy. You need silver bullets and crucifixes. Otherwise, you're up Shit Creek. That's what the guy said. All right. So, guys, listening to what the public had to say, I guess a majority, 80% of them were like, yep, positive energy is going to help you. A couple of other guys like, nah, doesn't matter. Whatever. It's not going to help you.
I suppose it depends on who's more powerful, the positive or the negative energy.
Well, that comment wasn't really positive, was it?
There you go. He's not going to help himself. Debbie, so once again,
were they gorgeous?
They all were. And you talked to a lot of people, and there was a lot of stuff I had to cut out because we can only keep it down to about 3 minutes to keep it in with the music and to keep people's attention on it. You got some other interesting comments in there.
I did. I actually got some people that were telling me some stories about personal experiences. So we've got those on file. They're no doubt going to be very interesting in the future. We'll share those stories. But most of the time, they were just legends. I think every second story was a legend.
Yeah.
Most of those people didn't know what they were talking about, must admit. So down my neck of the woods, they probably know what's going on.
Well, that's a good point, because I think it's quite a difficult question just to ask Joe Public. And like I said before, no one was questioning the question. They were answering the question.
Yeah.
And that was what was more interesting to me. They took the question seriously.
Tash, a lot of these people sounded very spiritual, or at least spiritually aware. Well, at least in that they know what's going on out there. Would you agree with what a lot was being said there, that spiritual energy, that this positive energy is really not just when it comes to negative entities, but in all aspects of life, that it can be beneficial?
Absolutely, and I say it in the readings on the forum all the time. I mention about manifestation. There was a massive book written about it, which we, you know, I don't read, I don't go on that book, but yeah, I've always...
What, The Secret?
Yes, but I've always, it's true, if you put out there... You put out positive energy, you're going to get positive back. It's like the snowball effect. If you're having a really bad day, you're feeling crappy, you're putting that negative energy out, you're putting them negative thoughts, and then it just snowballs, and the whole day is just one thing after the other.
But there is another side of that where you can put out so much positive energy that it becomes negative. For example, Tom Cruise, man, when he jumped on that couch.
Oh, my God.
It was just a bit over-positive, wasn't
that
it?
That was me. That was
Holy
like,
shit.
That was a huge overcompensation for things going seriously
wrong,
We're going
to get sued if we leave that in.
stuff. Do you know what? It was everyone thinking bad thoughts about him when that happened. That made things go south.
No, I definitely believe that a bit too much of positive side of things could actually lead to a very negative result.
Well, you need negative and positive to balance out everything, just like there's good and evil in everything.
The yin and the yang.
Yes. You know, it has to be a balance. Otherwise, you know, if everything was just positive all the time, what lesson are you learning in this lifetime? Nothing.
Without that balance, I'd be very angry. I really, and, you know, this is going to sound real bad coming from me and stuff, but I guess people kind of half know me by now. I really hate people that are well overly positive all the time. I like to know they're human and have shit days too.
Well, everything's, like I said, everything's got to balance itself out. But, you know, if just like I said before, if you're having a bad day and you keep thinking that it's bad and, oh, what else could go wrong, and then something else happens in that day, it's because you're thinking it. You're going to attract it more than what you would if you were having a good day.
Debbie.
Yep.
Really? Yep. And come on, you got to have something to add.
No, I'm dealing with people all the day, every day, and I can manufacture a really good day if I want to, but then some days it's really quite difficult to keep up a positive energy when you really don't have it there, you know. A lot of people can drain your energy. If you are a very positive person, then sometimes you can feel very exhausted by sharing that all day, every day, that sometimes you just want to, you know, say, not talking, got nothing.
So you think we're like a battery and we're going to run out if we put out too much positive energy?
You've got serotonin in your brain. You can only manufacture so much every day, I reckon, for sure.
Ah, there you go. So there's a whole chemistry aspect, but, you know, does the spirit care about what your brain chemistry is, Tash?
No.
I guess not. Okay, here's the question I'm going to pose to a group. If you had to take either positive energy or silver bullets to an investigation, what do you want to take? I love that last guy.
I would be taking positive energy, because if we were going to an investigation, we needed silver bullets. I don't think I'd want to be there.
True, Paul.
I'd rather use neither, to tell you the truth. For one, if there was a werewolf at a location, I wouldn't want to scare it away by taking silver bullets. And two, I'd like to experience the full effects of any energy that is at a location. For example, if there is a negative energy there, I'm there to find it. No matter if it's positive or negative, I'm open to it.
No, screw that. I've got wolfsbane, I've got silver bullets, I've got a crossbow, and I've got garlic. No, of course, I wouldn't. I would just go there with an open mind and see what happens.
So that's another good point, is just being feeling positive when you go on an investigation going to act as a form of protection on you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because it wasn't like that for me the last investigation. I'm generally not really a negative person. And at the last investigation, that was definitely negative energy on me. And I was positive about the whole thing. So even after, I was positive that it happened. So
has Gladstone taken over Yulee for yourself?
No, I still will go back to Gladstone, but I will not go to Yulee Road.
Well, that's an interesting experiment. What we should do, we should go on an investigation, but work ourselves into a really bad mood.
Negative.
Let's just go out there, see what happens. You know, run a control, send some people out there, just whatever, and then maybe send out another group feeling really good, just, I don't know, pump them full of incense or something, see what happens. That's a silly idea, by the way, guys. Don't do it. But I guess as investigators, we want to research every outcome. But have you guys gone... We've been on several investigations. Have any of you guys found a correlation between your mood and what you were thinking at the time and things that were taking place in the investigation?
I have. I think if you're uncomfortable, like if it's freezing cold and you haven't brought a good jumper and you're sitting outside and you're not comfortable and it's taking over the enjoyment of what you're doing, just on a couple of occasions... that, or if it starts raining in the middle of what you're doing, things like that.
Okay, Tash. Think of the times you've been out on investigation or research. Have you found a correlation between your mood and what took place in the investigation?
Yes, I have. You know, just with the surroundings, if someone is feeling negative, it's going to reflect on me as well.
Okay, then. Paul?
I try not to go to investigations in any sort of mood. I find that if you do lose your enthusiasm, you're not as aware, you're not as observant in the situations. And if you're there looking for a ghost, you could hinder it as much as if you were there in a neutral sort of sense. So, no, I try to keep neutral.
Okay, as for myself, I'm usually quite pumped and running around like a headless chook for most of the time. So, I miss out on a lot of things, it would seem.
I like the idea of setting a nice mood, yeah, for sure, depending on where you are and what you're doing. Yeah.
She wants some Tom Jones.
Not glass of wine. And
no, you know.
Candles.
Yeah, incense. There's nothing wrong with incense or some candles, or depending what you want to do. But if your environment, if you're comfortable, you've got it set up how you want it and everyone's ready, yeah, it's got to be a good thing.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've interviewed a light worker, Andrea Caldi from Validate. So we're going to listen to what she has to say on the subject of who she is and what she does. And I think she even provides us with a couple of examples of how her work has helped out people. So when we come back, we'll be listening to that.
At Alpine Nirvana, we are Australia's online suppliers of quality occult products. We have a wide selection of products for spiritual enhancement, protection, cleansing, and divination. Items include smudge sticks, incense, herbs, crystals, books, and coming soon, hoodoo curios. Alpine Nirvana, helping to bridge the gap between the spiritual and the paranormal. www.alpinenirvana.com.au or follow us on Facebook.
Very first of all, Andrea, you're a light worker. What is that?
Well, I use that term because through my spiritual work, I get to do a whole range of stuff. So it's just easy for me to, instead of having all these titles and have a list of I do this, and this, light worker basically describes it in one word. For me, it's a little bit broader probably than for other people, and some people might take offense to that, but I'll take a chance.
That's right.
For me, the most important thing about my light working is education. So for me, light working includes enlightening, so to speak. You know, if you want to have a play on the word light, enlightening. For example, when we get called out to private cases where there's spiritual activity, I can educate the clients about what their part is in that activity, because I believe there is no spiritual activity in a location, especially if it's a residential building where people live. There is no activity without some sort of participation or contribution from the people who live there. So therefore, the type of activity that's happening will be influenced by what's going on in the home, for example, and I educate people about that. And how they can make their own connections. For example, when a family member passes away and they think that they are encountering the energy of that person inside their houses, when they come back to communicate, I tell them as much as I can about how they can basically connect with them without having to go to a medium all the time or having to call out someone like me to talk through. So that's one of the best part of my job, I think, is to see people connecting for themselves with spirit on their own, and they after that, you know, things like grief resolution and things like that, those sorts of things can happen. So that is a big part of my light working work. Other than that, I also teach about psyche development, which is, again, about empowerment, so bringing in the light. In spiritual terms, the light is the positive. So when I'm light working, basically I help people bring positive change into their lives and also my own, because, you know, I'm working with my passion. I'm doing what I love doing. So if you want something a bit more specific, I can give you some examples.
From what I gather at the moment, so you were saying, so a haunting is generally brought on by some sort of participation on the people living in that location. And so from what I gather, if someone's got some sort of negative influence on themselves, their haunting's going to be negative. So you can help turn that negative influence into something more positive.
Kind of like that, yeah. I'm not saying they are the only contributors, because there's obviously location factors in that as well. But what I'm saying is that they have some sort of a part in it. So I believe that if spirit connects with us, there is something that they are connecting in.
Some part of
us or some part of the client that they sort of connect and hook in with.
Something that we're like inviting them or empowering them in some aspect.
In some cases, yes. But would you like me to give an example that might...
Yes, please.
...describe a little bit better? A while ago, we were called out to a location where a young couple lived, and they were experiencing some pretty heavy activity, especially the young lady. And she thought she was being attacked by this spirit. She could sense that it was a spirit, but she didn't know what it wanted or how to go about it, and for her the experience was really, really scary, because she felt like she was being choked and the pressure on her from the energies and all that. So she was really scared. They were seriously considering moving out of the apartment. So they contacted us and we went out. But before we actually went out, I made a connection with the spirit that was connecting with this young lady in the apartment, which is, you know, it's something that can be done. You don't need to be physically at the place. You can, like a competent medium can connect in. So a week before we went, I connected with this young girl. I wrote down everything, all the information that she gave me. These young people didn't tell me anything about her. They didn't even tell me that it was a girl. All they told me that there were some threatening experiences. So anyway, I wrote down what I was getting. I wrote a couple of pages, and then we went out a week later and had a conversation. And in the apartment, I connected with this young girl again. As it turns out, she was murdered in the apartment complex.
All right.
A couple of years prior to that, through strangulation.
No. Oh.
This was her way of coming through to this young lady who was living in the apartment to tell her that this is how I died.
Just expressing herself.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But there's no voice box, right?
Yep.
There's no way of having a normal communication like the living do one to another. She was using her own energy to convey the information that she wanted to convey, that this is how I died. Like, she was bound and gagged and strangled and all that. And this is what this young lady that was living in that apartment was feeling.
Was there a reason that you picked up on that this spirit was interacting with this particular person? Was there a kind of any form of a link between the two? Or was there a particular reason why this lady was chosen? Or was it just because she was literally in that house?
She was living there, and there were some common life experiences that they both had, which I can't go into at the moment.
Yes, yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, it's confidential and all that. But there were some similar life experiences between the two, which is why the spirit felt like she could connect with this lady and give her the information. But this is, for me, this is quite common when we get a call like this, that I would start connecting with the spirit straight away or a couple of days before we go, or if we have an investigation coming up, not necessarily private, but if we booked a place for ourselves that we wanted to investigate, then sometimes I do start connecting with different energies and different entities from that place a couple of days before we actually go.
So you went into this house and you gave the young lady the information as to why this is happening. Does your service or your ability take it beyond there as well? Do you, I guess, calm a spirit, or how do you bring some form of resolution, or was it just the information that needed to get across?
Yeah, do you help it to move on, or?
Well, that's a whole other can of worms. But the fact in itself that she knew that she was understood and heard was a calming effect already. Because the initial intensity of the energy when they come through, especially if the death was through trauma, then the intensity that they come through with, sometimes they don't even realize their own strength in spirit, you know. So they connect and it's just like really, really intense, overpowering, overwhelming energy. Okay, and for someone who's not trained in mediumship, it can be really, really scary because it does affect you physically. And whether to move spirit on or not, as I said, it's another can of worms. I have a certain view on that. My take on that is that if they come to me saying, can you help me move on, I will. But for me to kick someone out of their space that they believe is theirs,
yep,
that I don't think that's the right thing to do.
No, definitely.
That's just not the right thing to do. What if I came into your house and I said, well, from now on, this is going to be my house, so see you later. You know, and I would do everything to make you leave. What would that do? I think that would just make you angry.
And does it become negative at all for you in your, well, being a light worker? Is it ever negative to you? Do you find entities that just don't like what you are? They don't like this positive empowerment that you're bringing to people?
Oh, heaps. But you know, that's the same on the physical plane.
Yeah.
Why would it be yeah. if, you know, as above, so below? So if someone was a negative, aggressive person on this side, they're pretty much going to be the same energy on the other side until they learn how to let go of that and move on. But as far as negative entities, my approach is to have no judgment. So whoever I encounter from the other side, it doesn't matter what they did, who they were in this life, I'm not judging them. They come to me, obviously, for some reason. They want to communicate or they want to learn how to communicate, and then they move off to other people, or they teach me things. It works both ways, because every time I connect with the spirit and help them over on the other side, they help me. I learn a lot about how it works and how I work and how my mediumship works.
Excellent. Is Attila still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, how's from your more analytical mind, how do you see light working? So it's kind of great that we have both of you there so we can get two sides of it, because what is it to you and your side of things?
Well, it becomes very interesting. I respect what Andrea does, definitely. Look, there's no doubt about that. And she has proven to me a number of occasions where, you know, she's come up with some really incredible information that was, there's no way in the world she could have known beforehand. I made sure that she didn't.
Yeah.
But look, it's there are certain elements for me that you know. Like I said, I respect what she does, but if I'm looking at it as something that is objective, I can't say it is, because it's not. It's subjected to, it may vary. You know what I mean? The information will vary over and over again, and I don't know, it's very hard to put into context, to be honest, without offending Andrea.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, offend me, because we work together all the time. But
I'm just trying to think of the right words. But look,
the fact is, I think I know that I need to come up with solid information.
Hard evidence, sure.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you very much, and we'll hang up now. And yeah,
hopefully speak again soon.
Talk later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Cheers. Bye.
As always, that's just a fragment of a much longer interview that we've just spliced all the bits that we wanted together. And as always, that full interview is going to be released at shortly, I suppose, in a couple of days' time from when this first goes up. So guys, having listened to that and listened to a light worker speaking, obviously Paul was there. So I guess, Debbie, did you have more of a idea about what a light worker does?
It was interesting to hear her talking about what she would do out in the field. So I guess she probably, I don't know how she would hear about those places that she said she went to someone's house, whether it's through friends or through her website or something. But, it's definitely interesting to hear the sorts of things that she does, for sure.
You know, there's different levels of being awakened and different abilities. So, you know, there's different frequencies that your mind works. So to me, a light worker is just a psychic on a different level of spiritual ascension.
Okay. With your level of spiritualness, or I don't know what you call it, Do you have the ability to move a spirit on if you wanted to?
I never really have had to, I've never really wanted to.
Yep.
I mean, I've told them to go away, but I've never really, whether that moves them on or not, we're not experts in this field.
Yep.
And even if we move them on, who's to say that they do?
Yeah, that's true. And I like the comment that Andrea made in that, you know, she'll only move on or help something move on if it asks it to, if it's unwanted.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you're not just going out there. And I've been at the Adelaide jail, and we had a light worker come through there. It was quite funny. We were running a tour.
That could kill your business, wouldn't it?
Well, she was running into all these spirits and moving them all on. And we're just thinking, well, we're going to have no tour. all the ghosts are gone. So, yeah, I like that. You know, whether they wanted to go or not, she was just, see you later, see you later, see you later. Kind of, well, it wasn't that simple from what I understand. But I think that's very good. And I know that is a personal thing for Andrea, choosing not to move something on if it doesn't want to go or hasn't asked for that kind of help. But are there rules? Are there rules in being a medium and being a spiritualist? Or is it just down to personal beliefs and what you want to do?
No, it's just down to personal beliefs and what you want to do. I personally don't think I have the right to move anything on. Maybe if it was negative in nature and it's affecting someone mentally or physically, then I would move it on. But, you know, who's to say that these spirits actually know that they're passed on anyway? So why would you go out there and say, right, I'm going to come in and have the intention of moving this spirit on? This spirit might not even know that they've passed.
Okay.
Can you do the reverse of that for us? Next time we go on and bring them in.
Bring them in, boys.
Can we do that? Can we herd all the spirits into, like, one little haunted house and just go nuts in there?
We're totally doing a show on manifestation and invocation of spirits.
Definitely. Sometimes we'll get that Ouija board flying around and the puck, and that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. I completely forgot what I was going to add.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. No. Now I've just got to sit here and think for a sec.
I think there are lots of different kinds of light workers, and it's hard to maybe put that kind of, for me, who, you know, I don't pretend to know a lot about psychics and mediums and light workers, it's hard to kind of put those areas in one big umbrella, I think. Maybe they all have a different skill and will utilise their awareness in different ways.
That's probably the easiest way. I mean, like Andrea was saying, and a light worker is a medium, so I mean, they're all under the one umbrella. So,
is there a specific skill set a medium needs to have to be a light worker?
A medium, to be a light worker.
Yeah, is there a specific skill set
where they have to have empathic traits? This is in my eyes, and I could be shunned for saying this, but in my eyes, they need to have empathic traits and some healing ability to work with the light, because the light is pure and it's cleansing. So they'd have to have some sort of empathic traits or healing ability, like Reiki.
Okay. What about another thing that springs to mind? When I first heard light work, straight away I just started thinking of white lighting, because that's the only kind of word. Can a light worker, anyone can apparently white light themselves.
Yep.
Now, can a light worker do that better than, say, I could?
Maybe because they have a stronger belief in it. Yes.
Okay.
So what's the opposite of a light worker?
Julia Gillard.
Oh, dear.
Sorry to all those three Labour voters out there.
Oh, no.
That was gold.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to I'm just going to thank Andrea Cowdy and Attila Cowdy. Their interview together, so we'll talk with them both about what an investigator is and about light workers, and the full interview will be out very soon.
That was a great interview. It was very informative.
There's a lot of stuff there. I reckon it went for about 45-50 minutes, so there's a lot of information there about all sorts of things. And it was great having the two perspectives. You have the really spiritualist person, and you also have the more analytical, scientific type mind there. So, very interesting interview. So, once that's up, we'll let everyone know, and please go listen to it. And, of course, go to Validate. So, there you go, guys. So, that's all about light workers. And, as always, we've got a listener's question. That's going to be coming up after this break. And I believe it is quite interesting. And we'll pose that to the team in a minute.
Are ghosts real? Do the dead still roam? Could those stories really be true? book a ghost tour with Haunted Horizons and find out for yourself. Or, why not journey into the much darker side of human nature and book onto one of our dark history crime tours through Gawler or Adelaide City Centre? Ring 0407 715 866 or go to the Haunted Horizons website at adelaidehauntedhorizons.com.au.
So we're back, and this time we got the listener's question. This is, as everyone says, the favourite part of the show. Well, just for us, because we get to answer something rather than ask some questions for a change. So the question is, have we ever used a light worker on investigation or in our research? And do we foresee a time where we might want to use one? So guys, go for it. Do you think have we used a light worker in our work? And this can be as a team or personally. And do we think there might come a time where we might need to bring one in?
In a way, not that I'm on that higher level that they Andrew is, but when we went to that house, you would say I did like working there, working with that child. I don't proclaim to be a light worker and I don't heal, but I do have empathic traits. And,
You did. You went out there. You did the things that the light worker does. So besides being ascended, you educated the family on what was going on, especially the child. You were able to get down the child's ability, and you were able to get this child that wouldn't talk to anyone to talk to you.
Yeah.
You provided this child with a tool, which was a crystal.
Yep.
And you explained what was going on, and this child was really, well, the situation's fixed. Pretty much done. And it was all positive.
Yep.
The only thing you didn't really do, I think you kind of identified the spirit that was there.
It was a little bit hard when I was there because the mother was so into, she wanted to be a paranormal investigator in my eyes, and she was a bit fearful, but she so wanted to see it for herself, and she was sort of egging me on as to who it was. but I did pick up other things there with her family members and her partner's family members as well. But, yeah.
Do you foresee yourself having to use a light worker?
No.
Okay. Debbie?
I don't know. I'd like to do my own little piece for the Paranormal Guide on a light worker for sure. I'd like to maybe get a healing or a treatment or just to actually see if I felt any different. So I would do it as a personal experiment for myself, I think.
Okay, Paul?
I'm having a lot of difficulty determining the difference between a light worker and a medium. And we do have a medium in our group, which is Tash, and we use her a lot in investigations. We do base a lot of our scientific research on Tash's feelings, and we do concentrate on rooms where Tash is getting the best or the highest amount of energy levels that she can feel from a room. We're trying to validate what her responses are or what her feelings are as well, which I find probably being the same as using a light worker on an investigation. And she does protect us, which is fine, really annoying, as I mentioned to Attila. I believe how we're using Tash is the same way we'd use a light worker if we had one.
But is there, I guess, well, Tash can answer this, is there maybe going to be some entities out there that you're not going to be able to deal with that a light worker might be able to deal with?
Of course there would be. It's the unknown. So I can't say, well, no. We're not going to come around, you know, and meet Joe Ripper or whatever, but, you know,
I'll handle them.
It's all right. we don't have silver bullets, so, you know. There is going to be a time where I'm not going to be able to handle myself because it is the unknown. So,
for example, Gladstone.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she was getting freaked out.
Yeah, well, I handled myself, but I was so embarrassed afterwards.
So we are saying that there could potentially be a time where we might want someone more ascended or more in tune. I'd see, even I'm still confused, but I guess someone of a higher level.
Yeah,
of
but it's also you gotta also remember that light workers also heal. That's one of their main things, and their whole belief is about healing the world.
True,
like Paul said. So if you are taking into a healing situation where someone needs to be healed, then yes, sort of like a priest. If you want to take a priest in for a blessing, that sort of thing.
Here's another question I just come up with. do we hope to ever find ourselves in a situation that Tash can't handle it and we have to call the bigger guns?
Yes.
Tash is keen. Debbie? Yes.
Oh, for sure. Y'all be into that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
See, there's people out there now judging us as crazy for wanting this because we don't know what we're getting into, and that's the whole point with the paranormal, unfortunately, guys. So there you go. That is the Paranormal Guide Podcast 003. What is a light worker? Hopefully you guys got more out of it. I'm still a little bit confused. Paul seems a bit confused. Tash, as always, is on the ball when it comes to the spiritual stuff. And Debbie?
Confused.
Confused. So, and that's at no fault of Andrea or our feet on the street or anything like that. It's just, I guess it is a,
well, it's a touchy subject and it's hard to explain.
Yeah, it is. So, from what I gather is they're a medium. They do a lot of other things, a lot of positive stuff, and they're, I guess, on a higher level spiritually. Yep. That's what I gather. Correct? Excellent. Yep. And guys, if you ever want to get in contact with The Paranormal Guide, you can find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/theparanormalguide, on the internet, www.theparanormalguide.net, or you can call the mobile phone number 043-7233-729, and we love all your questions. We love listeners' questions. We love suggestions on what to do for future podcasts, so get onto that.
And if you really like listening to us this much, you might want to check out our webpage and find out when our next meetup is and come listen to us live. Meet us, shake a hand, and have a bit of a discussion.
I promised the people down on Semaphore Road that I would give them a quick shout-out as well. A big thank you and shout-out to Xanadu, who have all sorts of wonderful crystals and books and incenses and all that sort of thing on Semaphore Road. And another big shout-out to Gypsy Rose, who were across the road from Xanadu, who also have lots of all sorts of interesting crystals and books and artifacts and things in there. So
my missus loves that shop.
Yeah, I shop there. That's where I get all my stuff from.
They were such good sports, and they answered a couple of questions. So pop down to Xanadu or pop down to Gypsy Rose and see what they've got.
Okay, guys, this week's artist is Vintage Ink and the track Young Traveller for a little bit of freeform experimental hip-hop. If you want to check out a bit more of Vintage Ink's library of tracks, head over to Facebook and look up Vintage Ink, and we'll also place some links in the podcast's description. Okay, guys, so give it a sound, and as always, leave us some feedback. See you next time.
See you later, everyone.
Bye.
See you on the streets, guys.
Happy hunting.
Bitch.
Full of teeth in my sleep for the dramas of last week. Things I can't keep.